So I guess it's working. If you guys can hear me or see me, I got a thumbs up from Isaac. Okay, so I guess we're good. What's his name? I can't think of his name. Anyway, let me introduce Corey Watkins. He is the founder of the Cannabis Open Carry Walks, and he's also involved with Free the Weed Texas. And he is a pretty big activist in the marijuana, what do you call that, industry field
movement.
And he's doing a lot of really awesome, really big things. He was running for governor with the Libertarian Party of Texas, and he got really, really far with that. He did a really awesome job. And in doing so, he was able to connect with a lot of people, which is hard to do, especially in Texas, I would think, because I know there's a lot of open-minded people, but there's a lot of conservatives out there, it seems. So there's a lot of resistance to it. But Corey, welcome.
I appreciate you having me on, man. I reached out to you, and I'm glad you said, yeah, let's do this. So.
Absolutely.
I think the last time I was on here, I was running for governor, and you're giving me a platform to speak from. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We gotta kind of stick together, because it's hard for us to get into the mainstream media because they aren't big fans of us. So who's the? I want to get back to this for a second. I can never remember his name. The guy with the gay frogs.
Who is it now?
The guy with the gay, he's turning the frogs gay. InfoWars.
Oh, Alex Jones?
Alex Jones. I can never remember his name for some reason. So everyone's saying that he's officially been banned from Facebook and YouTube and a bunch of other sites for hate speech. I don't know if this is true or not, but we don't fact check here.
That's news to me, and I'm not really big into Alex Jones. Matter of fact, I don't think I've listened or heard anything from him in many years.
Yeah.
But who knows what's going on?
Yeah, I'm in the same box. He's a little too extreme for my taste. But this is an article by NPR. They're saying YouTube, Apple, and Facebook have removed outlets for conspiracy theorist Alex Jones and InfoWars. So. As much as I'm, you know, I think he's kind of a nut, but that is kind of an attack on free speech.
Well, what do you think? I would say if Google, who was it again? Apple, Facebook, and who?
Apple, Facebook, and YouTube.
Okay, well, I would say that those three are private businesses, and if they want to remove people's stuff, they're more than welcome to do so. But if it was like a government regulation saying, hey, Alex Jones, you're not allowed to post your information anymore. If it was something to do with the government, then I would be against that. But,
sure.
You know, if YouTube wants to do that because maybe they don't like Alex Jones, then damn it, they have every right to do that. And if I don't like that, then I just don't use YouTube, you know?
Absolutely. And that's really the motivation behind everybody switching to, like, I think it's DTube and all these other sites that are decentralized. So that's pretty cool. But anyway, let's talk about Free the Weed and the open carry marches. So you actually took open carry, which was already getting kind of popular in Texas, and you mixed it with cannabis walks, which sounds really dangerous. But what's going on with that? Like, tell me, what's the whole story?
So the name, really, Cannabis Open Carry Walks, I come from the open carry gun movement and activism out in Texas with the gun rights. So I said, let's just mimic it. We got a 146-year law changed. Well, let's just mimic what we did there and kind of implement it in the cannabis movement. Now, obviously, people may wonder, well, what is the open carry? That's good. We got people's attention. Now they're looking into us and they're figuring out what we're about, you know? And so we're not open carrying guns and smoking weed at the same time or anything like that. There's been a lot of people that come out there and they do open carry their gun, and that's fine. It's all good. You know, usually that means that everybody's going to be safe, and I'm okay with that. So we're more or less open carrying our love and and support for cannabis. We have signs, we have flags, flyers, stuff like that, materials. But we just thought we would get attention with a name and then represent it well, because that's what we're doing. We're Cannabis Open Carry Walks. We want to show our love and support with signs and flags and flyers, open carrying them. We want to be open about our support for cannabis. You know, a lot of people are in the closet, so to say, about their love and their support for cannabis. More people yep. need to come out about that and be open about it. That's another thing for Cannabis Open Carry. We want to open carry that love and the support for cannabis. And then, more importantly, we want recreational and medical use of cannabis, and we want to be able to openly carry that and not be locked in a cage for it. So that's kind of the whole, I mean, there's so many things that you can look at for the name and what it means, and that's kind of in a sense it all comes together, and the name fits well. It's an attention getter. It represents our movement and about what we're doing. So we just wanted to mimic what happened with the gun movement. It was very successful. I learned a lot about activism and what buttons to press and things in that movement. So I want to apply that to this movement, and there's so many people involved in this movement. It's really awesome. So that's kind of how the Cannabis Carry name came about in my living room back in, what was that, December. We're just talking amongst friends about kicking around an idea. And I thought, you know, I mean, if we really want to grab attention and build this network of people to come together at the legislation, for one, we got to start now. If you're going to start a movement, when the legislator starts, you're way behind. Way behind. So we got to start this a year ahead. And so that's what we did. We started, you know, eight months ago, basically. And look where we are now. We're doing really well, and we're excited for what's to come.
That's pretty awesome. So what's... I know, like, when people were doing the open carry with the guns, the police would always show up, and as they say, the Second Amendment protects the First Amendment. And, you know, you see a lot of protesters, and I mean, there's all kinds of different factors that go into it. Like, there were the guys protesting ICE. I think it was like the I guess you would call them alt left, who were like yelling and screaming at the cops and going crazy. And then, of course, the cops came out and started beating them. But like and of course, those guys aren't armed because they're from the left. But at the same time, they were being really aggressive. And I know with like the open carry walks, you know, everyone's really peaceful because most gun owners are peaceful people. Have you seen any kind of like, pushback from police, or are they usually, you know, pretty cool with you guys being there?
We've done probably 100 and something events now. I don't know, right up there around 110, I guess. I can't even get the number. But with that being said, nobody's ever got a ticket. Nobody's ever been arrested. We've had a few encounters with the police, and they've all been very peaceful. Usually they just come out and, you know, say, hey, you guys doing okay? Everything's peaceful. We got a call. Somebody may have been out in the street. Okay, cool. You guys are great. And then they leave. It's kind of, they're just checking on us to see if, you know, the call that they may have come in, or the report that people were out in the street or whatever, they just come in and check. But they got better things to do. Most of them admit that. And a lot of them are in support of cannabis. You would think that's crazy of me saying that. But, you know, police realize that there's a lot more things that they could be doing than arresting people for possessing a plant. And I think this is going in the right direction with our movement, and the support is growing from all over, even the police. So we really haven't got any pushback from the police departments.
That's pretty cool, man. That's really good to hear, because there's everybody's always worried about whatever the protest is, the riot police showing up and all that kind of stuff. So that's really good to hear that you're not experiencing any of that.
I don't know. You would think that in the gun movement, you would have a lot of support from the police. But we got a lot of pushback in the gun movement from police, and that's what it sparked me to start cop watching and stuff. But now in the cannabis movement, there's been really nothing. Now, when the legislator takes office and we start applying more pressure, and our, events start getting really big, then I don't know how that's going to be. When you start being a real threat to tyranny, we'll see what happens when that time comes. We'll revisit that topic.
Yeah. Well, I think so. What's interesting about that is, like, when you open carry for gun rights, you're carrying your guns, which I know it's hard to say because it was legal to carry long rifles at that time, and what you were pushing for was legalizing the carry of pistols and handguns. But it's almost kind of like, you know, the difference would be if you were out there actually smoking weed, to where the cops would come out and say, oh, you're breaking the law, which is kind of what they were doing with the guns, even though the guns that were there really were legal. I don't know. It seems like that might kind of be the boundary line. And of course, I don't think I've been to a couple of those walks and no one's really out there smoking. If they do, they keep it off to the side so no one can see. But yeah, I think that's kind of the breaking point. But, you know, like, what would be interesting, and I'm not recommending that anybody do this, but what would be really interesting is if enough people are out there with guns that, you know, police know that they really can't do anything, and a couple people started smoking, would the cops actually try and arrest them? Or would they say, you know what? No, they've got their guns out here. They're here legally. The people who are smoking are doing so peacefully. They're not bothering anybody. They're not committing any other quote-unquote crimes. Let's just leave them alone because we don't want to create a bigger incident. What do you think would go down in a situation like that?
I really think that, well, first of all, we've had plenty of people smoke at these events. And we never promote that. And we never tell people, yeah, come out here and smoke. This is what the event's about. The events are about educational purposes. But if somebody needs to medicate or needs to relax or needs to relieve some anxiety or, you know, maybe something else is going on, a nervous system problem, or maybe they just want to relax, I would never, ever tell them not to do that. They're free to do so, but, you know, they're doing it at their own risk, and we've had many people do that. Matter of fact, at our first event in Houston, we had a bunch of police there. We had people with pistols, we had people with rifles, and we had people smoking weed. And not a damn person was bothered. Not one police officer interrupted what we were doing. It was very peaceful. You know, last week in Houston and 2 weeks ago in Houston, I did a live video and was smoking on the video. And last week there was an undercover police officer sitting right there. And I knew he was sitting there, but I didn't care. I'm just out in the open doing what I do. Be doing what I feel like needs to be done, and we'll see where it goes from there. But I really don't think they want to bother with something that simple. I really think it's gotten past the point where if we're out there doing something in the public, they're most likely just going to leave us alone if we're being respectful and peaceful and not bothering anybody.
Right, but I guess the point.
Good relationship too with them. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. I get that, and I guess the point I'm trying to make is that, like, if one person were just walking down the street smoking a joint and a cop happened to see him, they'd probably get arrested. But
sure. But
because you have this group of armed people, they're really like they'll never admit it, but they're afraid. Like if we go in and we're the people who start trouble, we start arresting people. They're afraid what might actually happen. They don't like, you know, it's easy for them to start a fight, you know, three cops with one kid walking down the street with a joint versus, you know, 10 cops and 50 guys standing around with guns. It's I think they know, you know, they know what their odds are of winning that fight. And I know there are a lot of cops that do arrest people for drugs, and they're already of the mindset like, hey, I wish they would change the law because I hate arresting people for this. But they do it anyway, which in my opinion is kind of stupid. But yeah, I think it's really is a case of the Second Amendment is protecting people from all these other, you know, tyrannical acts of government from even happening now. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, you bring up a valid point. It might make them second guess their actions, you know. But like I said, if people open carry, that's cool. If people smoke, that's cool. But we don't promote either one. Our events, and our movement is strictly about just passing out information, educational purposes, and building our army of cannabis people, so to say, here in Texas to put pressure on the legislature in 2019.
Awesome. Do you know any bills that are, so I guess the session isn't going to start until like January, but do you know any bills that, well, we don't even know who's elected yet, but usually right. They have bills that are, you know, pretty much already written so that once they do get, because the election's in November, they've only got 2 months before they're, you know, before they take the office. Half of them, probably the incumbents, already know they're going to win again.
Right.
Are there any bills that you know that are, that anyone's pushing that to be submitted first thing?
Nothing at this point. Like you said, I think everybody's pretty much buried in their election right now, going through that. And I think once we get closer to the November, we'll start figuring out, okay, obviously they're going to win. These are, you know, the people that we can start building a relationship with or continuing that relationship with to write a bill. That way we can see which numbers that we're going to follow. Obviously, there's going to be many different bills to follow, ones that are, deal with medical, ones that deal with recreational, and ones that deal with hemp. Industrial hemp, all ones that we want to be watching and supporting. And people in Texas have to understand this process that we go through. I think that's one of the most important things about this process is the knowledge that people are going to have in order to make this happen. So here in Texas, we don't get to vote. You can't just go down there and be like, yeah, I'm going to vote for weed on the ballot here. It doesn't work like that. And it doesn't matter how many petitions me and you or anybody else gets signed here in Texas. If everybody in Texas besides Greg Abbott signed a petition, it wouldn't matter. Even if he signed one, it wouldn't matter. They have to get a bill filed by the legislator. It has to go through a long process, calendars, committees, the floor, more stuff, and then to the governor's desk. So people have to understand this long grueling process. And when that process takes place, we all have to be on the same page to know which bill we want, to know which legislators are truly supporting it. And I'm not talking about just put their name on the bill to say that they sponsored it, but I'm talking truly supporting that bill in front of the curtain and behind the curtain of tyranny. So, and we're going to be down there, Cannabis Open Carry Walks. We're going to have many people down there through the hallways, the whole entire way through the legislation, giving people feedback and letting them know, hey, this guy says he signed the bill, he's supporting it, but that's a lie. We need to reach out to the people in that area, and that's why we're building our contact list. We want to know where people are located. That way, when this legislator in that area says this or that or pretends that they're supporting it, we can contact them immediately with people in their area, and on top of that, other people in Texas. We can get people down there to testify. So it's just all about applying pressure onto the legislator and knowing when to apply it, and so I think that's very important. Everybody needs to be on the same page.
Definitely. So let's do this for my friends out there in Texas who are watching right now. What's a good place for them to go to follow you to get up to date information on? Okay, so facebook.com/up a little bit higher.
Is this backwards?
No, it's good. Yep. Right there, facebook.com/420opencarry and facebook.com/groups/420opencarry. And so definitely
you go to 420opencarry.com. That's the website.
There you go. So definitely follow Corey, because here's the thing. Like, it, you know, like he said, there's a lot of steps in this process and nobody wants to know what these steps are, 'cause there's just, like, it's a pain in the ass. But if you follow someone like Corey, like, you know, he'll keep you up to date when, you know, if you can make it to Austin on the dates that it's important to be there, then you can do that. If you can call your representative or you know, whatever actions you can actually take, that's why you want to follow someone like Corey, because it's, you know, he makes it easy for you to actually make a difference rather than, you know, just, because it sucks. I mean, you know, for most people, it's like, well, I want them to legalize it, but I don't know what to do. Who do I, like, because like you said, all you can do is vote for people, and you don't know which people are actually going to make that happen. Right. So it's definitely, You know, follow Corey and the Cannabis Open Carry Walk and stay up to date with all this information.
That's one of the things we definitely want to be is that light of liberty to say, okay, I want to know what I need to do today to help this movement. I'll just check in with that page or that person and see what I can do today to help. And that's what we're doing every day, is providing people a way to take action, get involved, get out in the street, get their voice heard. And we're giving knowledge and sharing information about the process in which this needs to be done. So, yeah, please come right in here for your information. I will spoon feed it to you like Gerber baby food.
In a good way. I'm scrolling through the comments right now. We got some, you're getting a lot of support. Kevin Hale says he just got his shirt today. Free the weed.
I love you, Kevin. Keep it up in Dallas, buddy.
Corey is hero. Everyone's posting the website. Awesome. So yeah, you definitely got, and we got a taxation is theft in there.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about, you've got a pretty big event coming up, in what is it? September 1st through the 3rd, right?
September 1st and 2nd.
The same flyer. First and second. All right.
It's a different flyer. This is the CannaFest flyer. But yeah, so it's September 1st and 2nd, Labor Day weekend on Crystal Beach. This is called Texas CannaFest 2018, and it's pretty incredible. We had some organizers go down to Crystal Beach after a weekend and decided, hey, man, we should go down there to Crystal Beach because it was really busy in foot traffic, and we should hand out a bunch of flyers and, I don't know, maybe have a DJ and some music. We should all go do that. And we were like, yeah, that sounds great. Let's go do it. And then we got back a little bit later and it was, hey, let's all get a beach house and go down there on the beach and spend the whole weekend down there. And then it was, hey, how big do you guys want this to be? Because we could make it really big. And so now we have 20 musical guests, 10 guest speakers, one of them being you, one of them being Mark Tippetts, who's running for governor, cannabis activist all over Texas, one from Oklahoma, Kerry McKinnon running for lieutenant governor, a bunch of people coming out there to show love and support. We have two stand-up comedians, two DJs. We'll have arts and crafts, fireworks show, all kinds of stuff out there. This is a free event to spread awareness for cannabis legalization here in Texas, medical use as well. And we thought, what better weekend to do it down there at Crystal Beach than Labor Day weekend? From what we understand, it's one of the heaviest traveled places in Texas on Labor Day weekend. About 250,000 people touch that beach down there on Labor Day weekend. So not only are we just going to be down there and bring a bunch of people with us with music and guests and stuff like that, but we're going to be educating thousands of people who are just in the area for vacation. And that's the whole point, is grabbing all those people who we were never connected with and bringing them in and making that connection. That's one of the most powerful things when it comes to this freedom movement, is meeting somebody you've never met before that's similar, like-minded, or very like-minded, and working together to create more freedom and building a network of people. So we're excited for Texas CannaFest. We're excited to have the Taxation is Theft crew down there with us. And we planned this a couple months ago. We're about 4 weeks out, so this is pretty crazy. It's almost here.
It sounds really awesome. So this is going to be right on the beach. Is that the plan?
Yeah. So if you've ever been to Crystal Beach, or you can even Google it, but if you take Crystal Beach Drive right out to the beach access and you take a right, we're going to be down there a little bit, set up right on the beach. It's a public beach, so it's free to camp. You can come down there with a car or an RV or tents, and you can just camp right there on the beach for 3 days, hang with us, support this movement, and educate people that are on the beach. You know, all these people are going to be coming from all over Texas. It's not like people are just going to be down there visiting local. I mean, we're going to have people from all over Texas visiting. So all these people coming from all over are going to receive our information and take it back to where they're at. And it's just super, super powerful way of spreading a message.
That is, absolutely. Yeah, you get someone in, you know, some little far off neighborhood, and they start talking to all their friends and family and spreading the word. And that's... It really is. You get great word of mouth that way, and you reach a lot of people. So yep. that's pretty awesome, man. And I'm really excited about going. It's you've been talking it up for over a month now, I think. And I'm excited.
Me too. We got a really good event before CannaFest, and CannaFest kind of is the big dog right now, so this one's being kind of overshadowed. But the week before CannaFest, we have an event in Houston. It's called Cannabis and Hip Hop in Houston. Mark Tippetts will be there again. We have a panel discussion about legalization and medical benefits of cannabis, and then a town hall with Mark Tippetts, Q&A, and then we have some musical guests who are coming in and doing a concert. And we, you know, these people are all via coming in voluntary and on their own dime and on their own time. So we really appreciate everybody doing this. The concert's going to be put on. It's more of a fundraiser. It's $20 to get in, and it's help us keep our billboards that we got going up. I mean, we can talk about that here in a minute, too. Our second billboard just went up. Help us keep printing really good materials like this. I mean, these are only about a penny and a half each, but we've printed about 140,000 of these. And
wow.
So, you know, we're going to start getting more and more. We have to print more and more. We just got our 40-something organizer across Texas. So, I mean, we have 40 different people organizing across Texas for this movement. And I think I counted it. It was like 25 different cities across Texas where we have a really solid organizer who is planning stuff and creating events. So all that stuff goes back to helping out the cause and keeping it going.
That's pretty awesome. So if somebody wants to get involved in either become an organizer or work with one of these organizers locally, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, anybody that calls the hotline or emails or anything, I always tell them there's three really good ways to get involved in this movement. One of them is to be on Facebook and share our information and be a voice on social media, which is okay. You know, but you want to step up the game a little bit, go out to an event and get involved and get out in the street and meet people you've never met before. Hand these flyers out to somebody. You know, one of the most powerful things is handing this flyer to somebody else and saying, hey, get involved in this movement and checking out our website and building that connection. You can get involved that way. The second way is be an organizer. Be that person who is organizing and managing the area and building events and creating a network of people to help legalize here in Texas. And the third way, and a very important way since we're getting so big, is donate. We've had people donate $250 or more. We've had people buy us a texting service for 6 months. We've had people put up billboards, and people just donate something as simple as $4.20. But it all goes back to helping the movement and spreading this information. And we're doing really, really big things by getting people to do those three things for us. So if you want to, you can go to 420opencarry.com. Again, that's 420opencarry.com. We have a sign-up sheet. You can just put your name, your number, your email, and we'll get back to you. Or you can call this phone number. That goes right to my other cell phone right here. I'd answer that line directly, 817-673-0028. If you want to get involved that way or sponsor an event or anything like that, maybe your business wants to sponsor our flyers, you can order a bunch of flyers for us and we'll put your business right at the bottom here. And everybody in Texas on the streets will see our flyer and your business at the bottom. We'll work together, whatever it takes. So that's how you can get involved in our movement, 420opencarry.com, the Facebook page, or the phone number right there.
That's pretty awesome. And actually, now that you're talking about like sponsoring the cards, if you have a business, do you have any businesses that are like that, you know, they want to put those cards on their front desk? Like, I'm sure the head shops want to do it, but like restaurants or any other types of businesses?
Really, the only businesses that have really popped off are, of course, the smoke shops, the CBD shops, which reminds me. Big shout out to Texas Cannabis LLC and Pebble.life for sponsoring our text messaging service for 6 months, which we're about to roll out. So businesses nice. Like them keep us going. The StashboxTX.com, they, you know, sponsor us on many events, vendors helping us out with the billboards. We have many people who are affiliated with Hemp Works who are you know, in on this movement as well. People who have clubs, You know, the venue that we're going to be at, October 6th in Arlington, another amazing event that we're having. There's a club owner who is a military veteran. She smokes cannabis every single day of her life, and she's a huge supporter of this movement. You know, just another business supporter trying to get involved and helping out any way that they can. So there's a lot of businesses involved in this, mainly CBD, cannabis, stuff like that.
Awesome. So let's talk about these billboards, because that was actually a pretty big deal. You got some big billboards out there.
Yeah. You know, our group started thinking, you know, we kind of need a billboard. I think we're getting to that point. It just seems right. And so we discussed it and we said, let's do it. We didn't know how long it was going to take us to raise the money. We reached out to a couple people and you know, people started flipping in. You know, obviously the people trust in the work that they've seen being put in already. So they want to pitch into what could be something even better and make this movement even better. So and it really has. Since we put up the billboard, it's been really awesome. But you know, we put up a fundraiser. I think it took us 10 maybe 11 days to raise the money for the billboard. I called up Lamar Advertising, a billboard company in the area, and just happened to reach a guy who supports the movement. It was the first person I talked to on the phone. Huge nice. Supporter. So he gave us a good deal on the billboard. And we put it up, and little, you know, the idea became reality in like 2.5-3 weeks. So it was awesome. And now we have a 40-foot billboard that basically says this right here: "Free the weed in Texas." And it's on a major highway here in Texas, on 69, about 20 minutes north of Houston. And I knew right away that not only were hundreds of thousands of people going to see it on the street driving by, but people were going to start taking pictures of it. It's an iconic billboard, you know, it's like a historic monument, so to say, you know. And then it spread and caught wildfire on Facebook. And there was a couple days there where my phone was ringing. This phone was going nonstop with people who were like, yeah, I saw the billboard on Facebook. I saw the billboard on Facebook, you know. So, it's done its job, and it's found us a couple organizers over there in the area as well. So big thing happening in our movement with that billboard. And then out of nowhere, you know, that we didn't even think about a second billboard, but then out of nowhere, somebody randomly messaged me and said, dude, you should get this billboard. It's right by the police station and under a law firm. And I was like, all right, give me the number. I'll call it. Just see what's going on, you know. And so I call this guy, and I'm not lying. He has property in Colorado. He's a huge supporter of the movement. And so no money down, nothing up front. He said, just give me your design, and I'll put it on the billboard, and I'll mail you a check, or I'll mail you a bill later and just pay me. And so I gave him the artwork, and he put it up within 10 days. And so in wow. Rust, Texas, a small town out in Rust, Texas, which is a very Bible Belt town, I guess you could say, that would probably be kind of against the cannabis, you know, industry moving into Texas, if you will. And so we'll see what happens there. A lot of love and support in Rust for it so far. And so that's kind of the story. We got two billboards up. We're working on a third one in the Rio Grande Valley area. They've started some direct funding down there to get a billboard up there. So who knows? We'll have three up soon, and hopefully we can turn three into six. So
awesome, man. That would be really awesome. I just want to say, because you mentioned the Bible Belt, and I've known some pretty, you know, what you would consider the good Christian type, very conservative, and somebody gets sick, and like really sick, like, you know, cancer or something like that, and all of a sudden that goes out the window, and they're like, okay, we're willing to try anything. And it really sucks that, you know, it takes them that long to kind of get on board with this, because it's like, at that point it's like, okay, yeah, you can start fighting with us now, but you know, by the time it's legalized, I'm sorry to say, but you know, your loved one might not be here anymore. So it's really interesting to see that it's, you know, when someone gets into that really bad position, that dark place, they're like, it's like, okay, this stuff really isn't that bad. Why is it illegal? Especially if it can be used as medicine. I think that's I don't know. It's really important to know, but it's kind of a shame that so many people kind of oversee it until, you know, they need it for themselves.
Well, that's kind of what you finished with there. It's kind of a selfish thing, unfortunately. People, you know, or I don't really care about their freedom or whatever. It's not important to me. But then when it becomes really important to them, all of a sudden, it's okay. And that's what people really need to realize is at any kind of level, it's an individual liberty standpoint that if I need this because I want to use it for recreational purposes, then I should be free to do so. If I need it for medical purposes, I should be free to do so. It shouldn't be a, well, I don't need it, or I feel this way about it. I don't really care about your feelings. You know, that we shouldn't be legislating people's feelings and stuff like that. It's an individual freedom and a right that people should have to access this wonderful plant that we call cannabis.
Right. And I think it's also important to note that, you know, when, because I hear a lot of people saying, you know, someone gets busted for weed and then everyone's all like, oh, but they were breaking the law. And, you know, it's like, it's not really about that. It's not that these people have no respect for law and order or that sort of thing. It's that, you know, somebody like it, that's their freedom. You're telling them they can't do something that they want to do. They're not harming anybody. And it's really like, you know, they kind of see the law as, no, this is just somebody else's opinion that they're trying to force on me using the force of government, which is violence. And it's you know, people just saying, okay, look, that's fine if that's what you want for yourself, but that's not what I want for me. And I'm not hurting anybody. So, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and do this. It's not really so much that people are like, oh yeah, I'm going to go smoke pot and break the law. You know, it's totally not. So I think that's a really important distinction for people. You know, even if you're not completely on board with the movement yet, just realize that. Like, realize that, okay, fine, no one's asking you to smoke pot, weed, you know, whatever you want to call it. Like, it's nobody's asking you to do that. All they're asking is leave us alone and let us be able to do it without the fear of having to, you know, get stuck in a steel cage.
Yeah, that's my main issue is I definitely don't want to see people in a cage for a plant. Just the more that I think about that, it just becomes ridiculous to why anybody would think otherwise. But obviously, it's manipulation and you know, yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah, but, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, man, I thought drugs were so bad because of all those DARE programs and brainwashing and everything. Right. And then I got older and I actually tried it and I was like, throwing people in prison for this? Are you serious? That doesn't make any sense. Not anyway, Corey, I appreciate your time. I know you got to get running. Is there anything else you want to throw out? Website, anything else?
I guess the only thing else is we just would love to have more people out with us. We're building a wonderful, gigantic network of people here in Texas to get involved. No amount of people is too many, so please reach out to us. Get involved if you're in Texas. If you know anybody that's in Texas and would like to have access to medical cannabis or have recreational use be legal here in Texas, get with us. I mean, we are a solid, hardcore, serious movement to get legal cannabis here in Texas. So please reach out to us. Join us. We need your help. We want you in the streets with us. We have so many events taking place every single weekend. And in order to get this passed, we need people to come out of their comfort zone a little bit. You know, doing these videos, I'm out of my comfort zone. I really am. I'd rather be smoking some ganja somewhere and growing some fine cannabis and being left alone. I don't really like doing this stuff, but I feel obligated to do it. And so I come out of my comfort zone and I do it. And I also sacrifice and dedicate a lot of my time for this. You know, I could be doing stuff with my family or watching my favorite TV show or you know, enjoying sports. But I understand that a priority is in place right now, and so I'm sacrificing some of my time and putting it in this this movement. And that's what I would like to see other people do as well. It's going to take dedication and sacrifice in order to obtain more freedom. Freedom will never just magically wander up onto your lap. You will have to go get it yourself. And so that's what I'm urging people to do, is get out there and get you some freedom. It tastes really freaking good.
Yeah, it does. And I just want to add to that, like, you know, getting out of your comfort zone, I don't really like doing this stuff either. I'm in the same boat with you. But you know, all that said, like, what I've noticed is when I started doing this stuff, other, you know, I mostly focus on taxation as theft, and a lot of people have come to me and they think it in their head, and the same way a lot of people think marijuana should be legal in their head, but they're afraid to say anything about it because they like as crazy as it sounds, people think just thinking or saying something like that a law should be changed, people are afraid that the government's going to come and do something to them. And when you stand up and you know, you stand next to Corey and you say, I believe in this too. Now there's two of you. And now you yourself, as much as you don't want to get out of your comfort zone, you're going to inspire others to stand up next to you. And then there's going to be 3 and 4 and 10 and 100. And that's exactly how Corey's gotten to where he is now.
That's going to happen all the time. If you build it, they will come.
Absolutely. Just like the billboards, it makes more people show up. So don't take too long. Stand up, join with Corey in this and help inspire others. And then, because we can make this happen. There are enough people who want it. We just got to stand up and say something about it.
Agreed. Appreciate your time, Daniel. Thank you.
Absolutely. You too. I'll catch you later. And taxation is theft.
Taxation is most certainly theft.